This episode of WDW Today is being sponsored by MEI and Mouse Fan Travel. Yes, it's time to plan another trip to Walt Disney World, my friends. After all, you listen to these podcasts and say, man, let's talk Disney. I love talking Disney. You know what I love more than talking Disney? Going to Disney. And you know what? MEI and Mouse Fan Travel is here to help you plan those trips to Walt Disney World. They're here to actually make it a reality because it's never a bad time to go. In fact, there's so many great things happening these days. So you know what? Give Mouse Fan Travel a try. They're going to help you plan your trip and make that a reality. Go to mousefantravel.com.
Bringing the world to your world, this is Walt Disney World Today. Here are Mike Scopa, Len Testa, Mike Newell, and your host, Matt Hochberg.
It's Wednesday, November 26th, 2014, and this is episode 1427 of WDW Today. I'm Matt Hochberg of StudioCentral.com and RoyalCaribbeanBlog.com. Joining me on today's show, Mike Scopa, a blogger for TorongBuds.com, and he's also the co-host of the Mickey Miles podcast and a former pilgrim. Welcome to the show, Mike.
Yes, that maze was good. Maze on the Cob, we used to call it, you know. Anyways, Bravo 229, it will be on its way shortly to pick you up.
Body Wars.
Right.
Oof. Bravo 229. I like that attraction. I miss that attraction.
That was boring. It's one of those things. It's very long.
No, I mean, it was dated, but I liked it.
Also joining us on today's show, a man who's not dated, Mike Newell of Mouse World Radio. Which
I'm like, I'm in the process of cooking. I don't know if you can hear.
Nice. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. On today's show, we're answering your listener emails. We'll start with an email from Steve from the Bronx.
Yes.
I'm a longtime listener. I love the show. Does anyone know exactly when Disney will be able to have Marvel characters and attractions in the parks? When does that contract expire? Also, what do you think of the impact of Marvel will be inside the Disney parks? Thank you. Viva Mike Newell.
You know, it's funny, Matt, because when I did the Avengers race, we saw Hawkeye, we saw the Black Widow, we BJ saw Thor,
Hot Lips.
We saw Captain America, but Radar. We didn't see Hulk and we didn't see Iron Man. So I don't know what the actual deal is with Iron Man. I know that there's something about Iron Man is the trademark for the Iron Man competition, and Hulk has a different kind of copyright stuff going on. So
was Hulk wearing the white and black, or was he in the gold and yellow?
There was no Hulk.
No Hulk.
There was no Hulk, only Thor, Captain America, Hawkeye, Black Widow. That was it. So I know that we heard, and who knows what the actual clause was, but we heard that when the deal was signed that some kind of a 50-year clause was that no Marvel character could show up in a theme park east of the Mississippi for 50 years. And I think that was 3 or 4 years ago. So I'm guessing by the time, I'm probably not going to be around when we see a Marvel person show up. Things do change. You never know. I know that Disney one time had problems with the Henson family, with the Muppets, and that was ironed out. I think that you never know what's going to happen, but as far as I can tell, I think that the only Marvel characters we will see will be in Disneyland, maybe overseas. I don't know. Maybe Japan. I don't know, but that's so how I feel.
Universal had I was looking it up here. Universal agreed to pay an annual royalty to Marvel Entertainment back in the day. In return, Marvel ceded exclusive-themed attraction rights in three critical geographic locations, the western continental United States, the eastern United States, a 250-mile radius around Orlando to be exact, and in Japan. So that's the deal, so to speak. And then obviously we've seen some stuff here kind of going around in terms of what's changed since then. I'm not sure – it's funny you bring up the Muppets thing because obviously that was a big battle for quite a number of years between Disney and the Henson family. So you never know, but I mean, I don't get the sense that we're going to see it in the next 2 to 3 years. But you know, there is a finite point here where it's going to run out, and then obviously that'll come up. But like you said, Mike, I mean, that could be another 20, 30 years for all we know.
Yeah.
And what would you do with it? Where would you put it?
Well, the characters could be a big thing. That's just a gimme, right? to put in there. Although I've always thought the characters at Universal look nothing like the characters that you see in the comic books. I always thought that was kind of a it always let me down when I saw that, especially the X-Men ones. I'm like, oh, boy, these people don't look like them at all. But I've seen the, like, on the cruise lines, we've seen, like, Captain America on there, and looks all right, I guess. But that's probably the first place. But I guess the next thing, Mike, I would imagine would be an attraction, right?
That's what I'm saying. You have to, something have to be, well, if something should be in place. Like, the Muppets, you already had Muppet Vision in that area, so that would fit, and anything. Mm-hmm. Anything Pixar, you know, fit. You know, you could have any Pixar character walking around Pixar place. It would fit. But what would you have? Captain America walking around?
Yeah,
the
I guess
studio. I mean, it makes sense if there's something behind it where they can go.
Next, we have an email from Larry G.
Larry
here.
Yeah, crazy Larry.
I'm catching up with my backlog of WWE podcast, episode 14, 15, the subject of timeshares and why or am I not to buy. One of you mentioned the reason that you would not purchase is you cannot get financing. That statement is in error. I was about to close on a timeshare purchase at Animal Kingdom Lodge through the timeshare store. We're putting down between 10 to 15% and financing the rest. So if you would make a correction statement in a future podcast, you can get – this is from the timeshare store's frequently asked question. There's three places that offer financing: Monera Financial, Timeshare Lending, and Lightstream. You can Google all those names and find.
I don't think we didn't say you couldn't refinance a timeshare. We said you couldn't finance a resale, a DVC resale, I thought we said.
Yeah, no, and all these offer financing for the Disney Vacation Club resale purchases.
Okay.
Yeah, so I didn't know about those. But, of course, this is...
You couldn't get it through Disney. That's what we were thinking about.
Yes. Also, I didn't even know there was anybody that would give you Disney or otherwise. Yeah, other than, like, you know, that guy, the guy at the corner over there by you, Newell.
Apes. Come here.
Yeah. Give you a vig on it.
I got a deal for you.
But that's... We don't offer financial advice here, so go with it as, you know, you're on your own there. But some resources if you are interested in this. So thank you very much, Larry. Next, we have an email from Janet Sala, one of our favorite people ever, because she buys us things. She bought us one thing, but it was an amazing thing that was terrible.
And where is it now, Matt? Where is it now?
Pretty sure it's in a trash in Orlando.
Janet.
Didn't make the move.
I would have kept it.
It was terrible. I'm sorry. She knows it. It was a terrible product. Anyway, greeting amazing podcasters Matt, Mike, and Len, without whom my daily commute would be dull and boring. Just had some interesting experiences renewing my annual pass and would like to share. My annual pass expired mid-trip in October. I went online about 30 days before our October trip and renewed it. After completing the transaction online, I was instructed to take my credit card and photo ID, proof of Florida residency. I live in New Jersey and never asked for Florida resident pass. Along with the certificate I received via email to a ticket booth. I figured that was fine since they were going to go to the Magic Kingdom the first day of my new annual pass, and that would be a really good place to take care of it. About 60 days out from reunion, which was just a few days before our October trip, I went online to make some reservations for our December reunion trip. Lo and behold, there's my annual pass renewal listed among our Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party tickets. At that point, I noticed that not only did I need to complete the Magic Band configuration for our reunion trip, but I needed to do the same for my annual pass. So I picked out a color that I already didn't have, and we left for Orlando before the new card and band arrived. So I thought I would give this a try. I do love a boundary test case. I just showed up on the first day of my annual pass renewal with whatever existing Magic Band matched my outfit and used it to walk into the Magic Kingdom. Press band to Mickey head, place correct finger on reader, and everything turns green. No muss, no fuss, no visit to a ticket booth. It's freaking works. Who would have thought those would be so easy? Same for Mickey's Not Scary. It was all accessible via Magic Band. No need to stop. I will call for the party. It's just villain sinister soiree. So in summary, Magic Bands actually work. Each band identifies you and grants you access to ticket media in your My Disney Experience profile. Ticketing has no idea how to communicate, and you'll pass renewal. I do the villain sinister soiree again. Cool. I'm glad that worked out for you for the renewal right there.
I have to go through that next week.
What's that?
I have to go through that next week.
Good luck, bro.
Yeah, I know.
Shouldn't be a problem, Mike.
Let's go to an email from Dimitri in Raleigh, North Carolina. I just listened to episode 1416 where you were discussing possible restaurant tenants at Disney Springs. Len, I can't believe you didn't mention a true North Carolina original as a great addition to Disney Springs. Cowfish has several locations in Raleigh and Charlotte. It's the most unique sushi concept ever. They take sushi ingredients and make burgers with them, like it's a poor shrimp burger or a spicy tuna burger. They then make hot ingredients and make sushi rolls out of them, like barbecue roll made with pulled pork, onion straws, and coleslaw, or a lamb roll with lamb, feta, and kalamata. It's such a cool and fun concept. It would be right at home in Disney.
Don't they have sushi at the Splitsville?
Well, it's not really sushi. First, because he said it's like sushi. It's not sushi.
Oh.
I mean, it's burgers. They take sushi ingredients and make burgers with them.
Oh.
Yeah.
So ah, I'd be willing to try that.
Isn't that like every burger? I mean, every burger starts out raw.
I guess.
I mean, spicy tuna burger and tempura shrimp. Mike, have you ever been to Newell? You ever been to I think it's a chain up. It's a chain up here called Plan B Burger.
No, I've never heard of it before.
Okay, they got a couple by me over here. I don't know if they have by you. But anyway, it's kind of like it's you know, these burger specializing places, and they have things like the tuna burger, and I haven't seen a tempura shrimp burger, but it sounds very similar. But yeah, why not?
So when are you going to invite me up and take me out to lunch?
Lunch. So on to our next email. Let's
I'm waiting.
Moving here. Next email is from Donna in Union, Kentucky. Ooh, Donna,
don't hold your breath.
Donna.
The prima donna broke my heart. I'm sorry.
Donna from Union, Kentucky here. I'm taking a chance that Matt is still on vacation and Mike or Len are hosting. Hey.
Sorry.
Reading emails in reverse order. I'm going to the world soon.
Welcome back. Sorry.
And planning a VIP tour to hit 3 parks in 6 hours. I have 2.5 days in the world and I'm taking my 5-year-old with me. I'm trying to maximize the amount of longer wait headliner rides during the VIP tour, and I'm planning on riding the longer duration rides and shows on a different night at Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party. TouringPlans.com gives me the ride duration and expected non-fast pass line wait times, but I can't seem to find any information about the fast pass line wait times. For instance, if my son loves Big Thunder Mountain, which he does, and wants to immediately re-ride it, how long would you expect to wait and plan to budget for this?
Wow, that's, you know, I don't know if there's any way that Len or anyone can do that. How do you predict a fast pass? How do you predict a fast pass wait time?
Yeah, so they basically want to rewrite it immediately. I mean the Donna's asking about fast pass line wait times. For instance, if my son loves Big Thunder and wants to immediately rewrite it, how long? So if they want to immediately rewrite it, they're going to be back in the standby line, right?
Yeah, unless you are doing – so let's say – well, one way you could do it is you can figure out what your fast pass return time is. So let's say your fast pass return time is 11 o'clock and there's a 45-minute standby wait time for Big Thunder. So you get in standby and then you get off and you go right into the fast pass line. But as you guys know, if you have recently visited either Disneyland or mostly Disney World – sometimes the standby lines are shorter than the fast pass lines. So it's hard to predict what's going to happen. But I think that that's what I would try to do. I'd say, okay, so fast pass is such and such. The standby is such and such. Do the math and then figure out how you can ride back to back as best as possible, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, it's hard to say because I know a lot of times, you know, you Touring Plan tells you to go to a certain attraction. And when you get there, the line's like not that bad. And then you go out of it, and it's like, oh boy, it's like already an hour. You know, it's like way worse afterwards.
Yeah. Yeah, it's sometimes, I mean, I would say that 70% of the time they're within 5 minutes. But I'd say most of the time the lines aren't as long as they say. But then every once in a while, there's boom. Mm. It depends upon how often they take that little lanyard and give it to a guest and say, hey, give this to the cast member at the loading area.
Yeah, so basically, it's hard to say. The only thing I would tell you if you're looking at a Touring Plans thing is forget the fast pass. Like, put it in the system as a regular standby line ride and have it do it for you that way. But that's the only thing I can think of otherwise.
Yep.
Next, we have an email from Brad from Michigan. Guys, your podcast is great. I'll get right to my question and then fawn all over you. My family is planning our third trip to the world in late August 2015. I'd like to try a split stay of 4 nights at Art of Animation and 6 nights at Wilderness Lodge. What are the chances of me getting an upgrade? Should one be available at Wilderness Lodge if I book a standard room in advance and fax a specific room request 5 days in advance as you advise? By checking it at Wilderness Lodge, is there any point in asking to be upgraded to a courtyard view after I've already asked for a specific room with a standard view? Or, well, doesn't he just put me in my requested room in advance of me arriving?
It's so hard to give any kind of advice when it comes to upgrades. You just, you know, keep your fingers crossed. I don't know if asking is going to do any good. Sometimes I think Annette usually has good answers for upgrade questions, but I just, you know, just hope and pray you don't.
I was saying, don't count on them. Yeah. They rarely happen. You can't plan on it. So fax over what you want to stay in the rooms you want in your standard view, and you can ask. There's nothing wrong with asking. The worst thing I can tell you is, no, sorry, can't happen. But, you know.
You just feel foolish saying, hey, do you have an upgrade? You know,
I just want you, I don't want him going over there and be like, yeah, it's going to happen. Yeah, I'm going to get it. Like, there's like really, I mean, you know, it's a pretty low chance of happening, honestly. So.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
Next, we have an email from Mark from Chicago. We have a quick trip planned for mid-December, and we'll be staying off-site for 2 nights and on-site for DVC for 3. We have annual pass vouchers from several years ago that we'll be renting, we'll be converting to annual passes. We'll be renting a car for 2 days and driving to the parks. My question is this. On our first park day, on our first park day, when we are parking, will they accept our voucher as an annual pass so we don't have to pay? How about as DVC members?
As DVC members, if you show your membership card, you should be able to park for free.
Yeah, it doesn't – even if you – like, let me give you the story. When I went to Walt Disney World in September, we had not even purchased our annual passes yet. We were going to purchase them at the park, and we were going straight to the park from the airport. And what happened is we got to the park, and of course, we don't have an annual pass. So we should have – I told the cast member, like, we're going to buy annual passes. We just got here. I smiled, and the cast member said, yeah, go on. Don't worry about it.
Well, you're an internet star, so come on.
Star. No, actually, I mean, I
did that.
I've done it many times. I've given them stories. I forgot my annual passes a couple times. I said, look, I forgot my annual pass. I'm sorry. I'm going to go get it. I promise you I'm a subscriber.
I swear.
And they, most of the time, they're fine. As long as you're, I mean.
They charged me one time. And
really?
What they did was they said, well, when you go get your annual pass, just show your ticket and they'll reimburse you, which they did.
Oh. No. I would have said, excuse me, I'm going to back up and go to somebody else. That's
what I would have done. It depends on who you get at the booth. That's exactly what it is.
All right, so I think you'll be fine. And yeah, it's Mark. Yeah. Don't worry about it. Next, we have an email from Jocelyn Taveras of Westport, Mass. By the way, a Pats fan married to a Steelers fan. I have to mention that for Len's sake. Oof. Thank you all for the warm fuzzies lately. I've loved hearing why you do the podcast and Newell's pep talk to a listener on doing what you loved.
You know how many times people have said that to me? I was at Len's thing. And I think 3 different people came up to me. You inspired me to open a blog, and you did. That was pretty cool.
I guess I've needed it too. I love the show, and you make my week a little more fun. I just wanted to know when the resorts in Epcot put up their holiday decorations typically. They're up by now, right? Aren't
they should be. Yeah.
They should be. Yep.
Yep. Yeah. Basically, as soon as right in the week or two after Halloween, man, they go into high gear to get it all.
Yeah, I think they want everything up a week ahead of Thanksgiving, Matt. I think that's the normal the normal plan, at least in Florida. In California, everything was up when I was there on the 13th. Everything was up. All the Christmas stuff was up and running on November 13th.
Music and everything?
Oh, yeah, Mike. It was Christmas. Everywhere was Santa Goofy, Santa Claus. It's just amazing the difference between the West Coast and the East Coast, but everything. And the other thing was that there are decorations all throughout the parks. It's not just Main Street. Everywhere you go, there's decorations, there's lights. We did the Jingle Jungle cruise. Mm-hmm. It was amazing how many decorations were out.
Wow.
So, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Mike Dole does not approve of this strategy, by the way.
What's that?
Putting up the Christmas stuff before Thanksgiving.
Well, they used to do it the day after Thanksgiving. But it's gotten so big, you can't do it in one night. So I understand why they do it now.
Yeah. Yeah. You got to do what's best for business, right, Scopo?
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Next, an email from Sandy. I was wondering how busy Magic Kingdom is from 4 to 7 p.m. on Christmas party days, specifically Tuesday, December 9th. I said December 9th, right? Yeah,
yes.
December 9th. Yeah. We'll be attending the party. We plan on arriving for Rope Drop. Should we leave from 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. for a nap break and then come back to the Magic Kingdom from 4 to 7? Or should we stay for Rope Drop to 4 p.m. without a break? We would then head back to the resort to relax and go to bed early. I'm from Michigan, and it'll be my husband and I and our twins, 4.5 years old.
I would not even go to the Magic Kingdom that day. I'd go to another park in the morning and then go back around midday and then relax near the pool and then take a nap and then go to the Magic Kingdom. I wouldn't go to the Magic Kingdom first thing that day.
I would. The advantage of going those days is that typically the Magic Kingdom crowds are lower. And if, I don't know, let's assume they're only there for like 3 or 4 days and they only have one day. It's a great day to go because you can get a lot done. And if that was the case, I would go for the Rope Drop to 4 p.m. idea. And then just like take it easy that evening. We did that in September because same thing. It was a Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween party. It was our Magic Kingdom day, and we wanted to, you know, and it was like a one on touring plans. So we're like, hey, we're definitely taking advantage of this. And I mean, it stinks skipping the break. I enjoy leaving around 11 or 12 to go have lunch and take a relaxing break. But you do get a lot done, and then you're out of there before all the party people show up. Because if you came back at 4 from 4 to 7, I mean, it's not fun. I mean, they're already setting up all the stuff to kick you out, and people start harassing you around 6:30. You have your bands. I got to be leaving soon. You got all the party people showing up. Then you get depressed, like, I'm not going to the party.
Is that what they sound like?
It's exactly what they sound like.
Not going to the party. We're going to go to the zoo. We're going to go to the zoo and see the animals.
Yeah, they all sound like Droopy Dog.
Oh.
Neil from Richardson, Texas here.
Oh, my brother lives there.
Richardson, Texas?
Yeah. Yeah.
Small world.
He works for the Richardson Police Department.
Oh, 5050.
There you go. The Popo.
If I have a room reservation and an annual pass voucher, but no actual annual pass, can I make FastPass Plus reservation 60 days out? Yes. Yes, you can. Yeah, you just need you need your voucher number and you're all set.
Right.
Also, Neil has a couple of show topics ideas. Another Name That Tune episode. I like that.
We've done that in a long time, yeah.
Yeah, that requires pre-production on Newell's part, but...
so it ain't going to happen.
Favorite hotel by type and best meal ever eaten in a Disney resort room, not restaurant. Catered meals at All Star Vacation Homes.
Oh, that's easy.
Scopa's Pizza?
Exactly.
That takes care of All Star Vacation Homes.
Does he mean like in-room dining?
No, I think maybe anything... You know what was one? You know what's a good meal? Remember, Noel, I think we were recording a live show from your Pop Century Room, and we went to the food court. Do you remember this? And like Henry was there.
Yes, I do. What did we brought something back? I know we brought back the tie-dyed cheesecake, but we brought something else back that was really good. I remember that night.
No, I don't remember. I just remember that's fun. It's always fun with friends, anyway.
Oh yeah.
How about that time we did the live show from Old QS with Len, and we had Flipper's Pizza, always a good idea.
Flipper's Pizza was really good.
Yes, Flipper's Pizza and champagne, as I recall.
We're living in style.
Style.
Didn't we, I'm thinking 2008. Remember we were at Saratoga.
We were at Saratoga? Really?
That's far away.
Remember Bob Sellinger was there and Jim Hill was there? And remember Len went out for pizza or something?
Oh, yeah. I do remember that.
Yeah, what was that? Where did he go for that? You remember? Was it pizza he brought back? I don't remember.
He never comes back empty-handed, that's for sure.
I thought it was.
All right, time for our last question of the day, and that means I'm Mr. Newell. 3 emails to choose from. You ready, Mike?
Yes, sir.
All right, these ideas are very hard. We have a lot of people who wrote in with their mashup ideas.
Okay. That was fun.
So you've got the topics aren't very inspired, but you'll pick one. Mashup idea, mashups, or my mashup?
Wow.
Plus haiku.
What was the last plus what?
What?
Plus haiku.
Haiku. Well, I got to know what that is. So.
God bless you.
Because it's tight.
Last email today is from David Matibus of Walton, Massachusetts. Brilliant genius. Why I could do this all day. Spaceship Earth Mountain doubles over our desk to confuse stares from my coworkers. Jungle Transit Authority. Tower of Tiki Room. In the Tiki Tiki Tiki. That's a good idea, actually.
Waterfall, yeah.
20,000 Leagues Under the Liberty Bell Steamboat. Like that. Mad Tomorrowland Speedway. No tracks on a sheet of ice.
All right, that's good.
Nice. Monsters, Inc. Splash Floor. or Terror Floor, see Tower of Tiki Room. Nice, I like that. Pirates of the Swiss Family Treehouse and the Many Adventures of Dinosaur.
Wow.
That'd be really funny. And how about a haiku contest someday? Can I enter this one early? It's a world of what? Insidious Melodies. Give me a baseball.
What?
It's a haiku. You know, it's that's that poetry form that has, I don't know. It's a form of poetry.
Man, I need to like get out more.
Yeah. Yeah, there's like a certain, don't email us. I don't care what it is. There's a certain syllables you have to do. I know it. That's all we need to know. It's a certain, if you Google it, you'll figure it out. It's like three lines, set amount of stanzas, certain.
I'm really not that interested.
It's poetry. That's all that it is.
keep going.
Don't email me. I don't care.
Dear Matt, you don't know what you're talking about.
I know I don't because I don't care. So, but very good. Thank you, David. Very good stuff. Well, that's going to do it for us today. Don't forget this episode of WDW Today has been sponsored by Mouse Fan Travel. And if you'd like to plan a trip to Walt Disney World and make a trip a reality, well, give Mouse Fan Travel a call. It's time to get back to Disney World, my friends. And now is the best time
to
book a trip to Walt Disney World, at least. And check them out right now at mousefantravel.com. Also, email us your questions at WDW.com. We'll put them on a upcoming show. And we've also got, a live show coming up on Sunday at, what time is it? Oh, yes, 8 p.m. Eastern time.
And why is it at 8 o'clock, 8 p.m. Eastern time, Matt? Because it's best for business.
It's a good time. So check them out. Of course, it's always fun, these live shows, and we hope you'll be able to join us for it. It's this Sunday, 8 p.m. Eastern time. For more details, check it out, WDWToday.com, for all the info you need. For Len Testa, Mike Silva, and Mike Newell, I'm Matt Hotchberg. Happy Thanksgiving. Yes. We'll see you on...
Stupid Judy, stupid energy.
This has been a production of Mouse World Radio.